Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome everybody to another great week of Infendo Radio. We are joined with Lewis and Harrison and Scott. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great.
Doing great, thank you.
Fantastic right now. A little tired, but you know,
nothing that a good cast can't fix.
Oh yeah, I know. It's especially like, you know, a good hour's worth of Nintendo related news and just discussing and, well, you know, that, and I can finally say, hey, I'm a 3DS owner now.
Oh hey. Hey, let's talk about that. What games did you get?
Well, as I mentioned, like, previously, I decided to get a 3DS XL mainly because, like, two reasons. One, I generally like the grip of the, like, you know, feel of the, like, the handheld, and two, well, battery life. Well, thirdly, actually, the third reason was the Club Nintendo deal this week was if you bought, like, a 3DS XL and either Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, or Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, you'd be able to qualify for, like, a free digital download game. And I bought Luigi's Mansion, and I ended up, like, downloading Super Mario 3D Land, which, right now, aside from just tinkering around with, like, the console's, handheld OS, I am thoroughly enjoying it so far right now, and I'm just shocked how well, like, Luigi's Mansion is at the moment. I mean,
it's good.
It really is. I mean, it's gotten to that point where I'm just thinking, like, you know, I can't really put it down because, I mean, it's so simple, but yet the feel of just catching ghosts, whatever, I mean, the way it's set up through its controls and even through the 3DS's little features such as, like, you know, with tilts and even with the 3D, it's really kind of brought my... It's rekindled my love for traditional handheld gaming, and you know I couldn't be any happier.
Well,
except for maybe Fire Emblem, but you know I did spend close to $250 on Daypack, so I was like, you know what, I'll wait.
So are you gonna be downloading your games or buying them from retail?
You know, after last week when we were discussing about, like, you know, digital versus retail, and even though I'm kind of a stickler when it comes to, like, I like having physical games and having them on my shelf, but when I saw as far as, like, how much space, like, 4 gigs on an SD card in a 3DS was, and, you know, obviously I could upgrade and, you know, transfer all that, is, yeah, I'm really considering just going all digital on these things, on 3DS tiles, just because I think just for a handheld, it's a little bit it's easier instead of just switching out the cart and then carrying a case with all your different little 3DS or DS cartridges, so... There is that, and I haven't gotten around to any of the eShop titles right now, but I do know Pushmo's on sale, so I'll be getting around to that. Obviously, I don't know my friend code off heart right now, and I keep thinking, like, wow, I mean, can we get to regular names on there? But yeah, I'll be able to provide that at the end of the podcast or for anybody else to do it, and I do believe, Eugene, you haven't added me yet right now.
On the 3DS?
Yeah.
You know, I have to hold my head in shame. I haven't turned on my 3DS in a little bit. The last time I turned it on was to download Monster Hunter, so I'll have to go on and...
Well, you're treating your 3DS like your Wii U right now? I mean, I'm for shame right now.
yeah, right. Well, I mean, I suppose we should just dive right in, because there's quite a bit of news for the week, so let's get started with Shadows of the Eternals, new game that just got announced via IGN for from the same developer of Eternal Darkness. Dennis Dyack is actually in cahoots with this one. So did you guys get the chance to check out that story or watch the video, the teaser trailer for it?
I watched the teaser trailer just before we started this podcast here, and I'm blown away by the game. This is definitely something that I want to see, and it would be on the top of my list. I mean, that it just looks fabulous. The thing that kind of has me iffy on it, though, is they're wanting to crowdfund $1.5 million.
Yeah.
That kind of has me a little edgy on it, though. I mean, the game itself, if the game in game looks exactly like this teaser trailer is, I mean, it's a no-brainer, but... You know, I'm a little hesitant with what we've seen with Aliens Colonial Marines. We were shown something, got something completely different. And the fact that they're not funding this themselves, they're coming out to the fans to gain the money, that has me a little concerned. But overall, the teaser trailer itself was just awesome.
Right.
Yeah, I did not get a chance to see the teaser trailer or any of the other like screenshots or media for it, but what was it, like on Friday when I was checking Twitter on my break from work, and I had saw that Richard George from IGN was tweeting out that about that there was going to be a spiritual successor to Eternal Darkness, and of course that caught my eye in there, but obviously I didn't have enough time to watch the video on there. But one thing that did catch my eye was that this is coming to not only like PC but also Wii U first, so that at least caught my greater bit of attention right now, thinking like, okay, maybe as far as like, well, correct me if I'm wrong, is Silicon Knights behind this, or is it just Dennis Dyack from Silicon Knights working on this?
From the IGN article, it's saying that Precursor Games is the developer behind it, and I've never heard anything about Precursor Games, so but he's the, let me scroll to the article. Yeah, apparently he's the chief creative officer behind the game, so whatever that means, he's a part of it.
Yeah, and I was not totally, I mean, when I had heard the news, I was totally unsure that this was going through like a Kickstarter-esque, like, you know, crowdsourcing, like, a fund to actually, you know, make this game a little bit. But, you know, and one of the questions that we're trying to ask on here is, like, you know, should we trust Dennis Dyack with our crowdfunding money right now? I mean, we all know the stuff that's happened with Silicon Knights, and especially with Epic Games and, you know, Silicon Knights, you know, using their Unreal Engine, like, you know, illegally, which led to game, like, you know, a couple other games like Two Human and X-Men Destiny to be pulled from store shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as my trust with Dennis Dyack, I think, I mean, once Silicon Knights left being a second-party developer, was around, like, 2005, 2006, near the GameCube's, like, end of the GameCube's life cycle, I kind of really just pushed that company kind of out of my way. I mean, I knew Two Human, and at the time, its development was just being, you know, dragged on and on and on, and it went through so many different, like, you know, development cycles and even facelifts that I really just didn't care about the company anymore. I mean, I think even, well, in that spot, Retro Studios kind of took that spot as, like, you know, that go-to, you know, in-house Nintendo development company that I could trust. But but to see a spiritual successor to Eternal Darkness, it's a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Lewis, did you ever get to play Eternal Darkness, or do you have any thoughts on this new game at all?
Yeah, no, I definitely played Eternal Darkness. But I'm not particularly optimistic about this project. I mean, the actual, the trailer they showed looks really good,
mm-hmm.
but just from their track record since they've left Nintendo, Two Human, I don't see great things coming from this. I mean, and it doesn't fulfill my confidence it's going to be crowdsourced either.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm kind of all for the whole Kickstarter thing that's been going on, but, like, at the same time, there's been the games that have come out of it that have been actually notable have been so few and far between. I mean, we still haven't even seen the project with Tim Schafer, the adventure game that was kind of started the whole Kickstarter movement. But I don't know,
And that project, when I forgot what it was like, the money that it needed to be funded. I mean, I think what was it like, even past, it got past its funding, but like, was it over like 300%, around that? And yeah, we haven't heard anything about that, but this project with Dennis, like this, with Shadow of the Eternals, this isn't being done with Kickstarter. It's being done with another crowdsourcing area, isn't it?
Yeah, because they're not, I think I read that they're not able to use the Kickstarter platform because they're based out of Canada, so.
Oh, that does, I mean, yeah. Oh, poor Canada.
Yeah. Well, from the previous Silicon Knights game, I'm kind of with Lewis. I played X-Men Destiny, I played Two Human, and neither of them are particularly terrible, but they're kind of forgettable at the same time.
I would actually have to say that X-Men Destiny is a little bit more forgettable, yeah, as far as, like, you know, Two Human. Two Human, obviously, it had a bit of a hype coming at it for it because of its development and how many consoles it was supposed to be on, yeah, you know, starting at the PlayStation, 64, and GameCube. And once it initially came out, it was just a bit of a dud. I mean, but then again, time has kind of been a lot better for it right now. I mean, once it was, like, a little bit, like, brought to, like, a price drop, I think, well, not more people picked it up. I mean, I noticed quite a few of my friends, you know, picking it up and, you know, kind of seeing a different opinion about it, whatever. I mean, it's just, It's a good time waster, but it's one that you, it's definitely a shell of what this game could have been, because when Two Human was first announced, I was kind of expecting like a something in the same style as Eternal Darkness, nothing that kind of felt like it was, it had a bit of an RTS feel to it or something like that, but I mean, it just really didn't do it for me.
So will you all be crowdfunding or helping out with this game at all? Do you think that it'll even hit the $1.5 million mark?
No, I reckon it might hit its mark. Just because of the Eternal Darkness name, it's going to try and chuck along with it, even though it's, you know, Nintendo property at this point.
Right.
I reckon it will hit its mark. I'm not sure, again, that's going to be a good thing. I hope they actually make a polished game, comes out on, you know, on the launch day as it meant to be. I hope it doesn't turn into a big rolling disaster.
Right.
But what would also be interesting is that Nintendo does have the trademark for Eternal Darkness. Mm-hmm. You never know. It could be a project which is currently under development. It's unlikely, but you never know.
Yeah, and it's neat that the game is actually, well, potentially coming to the Wii U and the PC is from what the IGN article wrote. So it looks like Nintendo is going to have kind of an exclusivity on this title, unless of course it comes out like a timed exclusive. But I don't think that, like you said, I don't think that the Eternal Darkness franchise can stray anywhere from Nintendo at this point.
Right. You know, I almost have to wonder if this is going to be a way to gauge gamers' reactions and see if it's something that's actually wanted out there. I'm kind of with Lewis on this. I think it will hit the mark, and I think that maybe if it does well enough, that Nintendo might help them out with some of the funding on it. So I think either way, whatever happens, it's going to hit the mark. So, but I'm worried about the outcome of it.
I am as well, and, you know, this thing also came to my mind right now, just this week, I'm not sure if it was, like, Nintendo from themselves, but they mentioned that we could be seeing, you know, Retro Studios' next, you know, Wii U title, you know, revealed awfully soon, and that got me thinking, you know, like Lewis said, Nintendo still owns the Eternal Darkness property right now, and they had just recently renewed it about one month or two months ago, and I got thinking, like, you know, with this announcement coming right now for a spiritual successor to Eternal Darkness, what if, and I'm just saying this is a monster size if, what if this next project that Retro's doing is a sequel to Eternal Darkness? And, you know, how would that actually just feel to Dennis Dyack? You know, you're putting out an official sequel, and then you have this spiritual successor to it. I mean,
I have to wonder, too. I mean, if Nintendo owns the rights to Eternal Darkness, I mean, How close to the game it is Shadow of the Eternal is going to be? Is it going to be something completely different and just more of a, in tribute to that? Or how is he going to be able to make an actual sequel or another parallel to that game without owning the rights to it, unless he's, you know, just helping to develop it?
Yeah, I think
Oh, go ahead.
Nope, sorry. Yeah, I'm going to think they're going to try and go as close as they legally can to having a Eternal Darkness-esque feel to the game. I reckon they'll bring back the old sanity meter, called something slightly different, but the effect will be throughout the game, and they're going to just kind of draw on people's just kind of
expectations.
That's the one, yeah, from the original game published by Nintendo.
Yeah, and, well, you know, Nintendo owns the rights to Eternal Darkness and all the sanity effects, those things, like all the engines and all that stuff. So, it's kind of interesting to see what this company, Precursor Games, is going to do if it is going to be a true sequel to it, because then you can't exactly... Oh, it can't exactly do all the same type of sanity effects if Nintendo owns the rights. At least that's from the little research I did beforehand. That seems that Nintendo owns the rights to a patent or whatever on those type of things. So I don't know. Maybe Nintendo is kind of in cahoots with this, or maybe they've given them their blessing to make this pseudo sequel.
I don't think Nintendo
could be just to bring
this
something off
the crowdfunded.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, you know, if they had their hand on this right now, you'd think Nintendo would actually throw a little bit more cash on the cash to them, whatever, to help in the development.
Right. Well, in any case, it looks like the game is going to be. I'm sure it's going to be funded, and I'm sure that it's going to happen. But you know, one thing that's not happening on the Wii U is Madden isn't going to be coming to the Wii U. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah. What I've heard many fan outcry for this one, saying that Nintendo is dead and they should go the way of Sega and blah 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 because Madden isn't coming to the console. So I mean, should Nintendo be worried about this development at all? And I mean. Are you guys really sad that this?
They should be worried more about their partnership. Well, you know, their relations with EA, to be exact. To be frank, I mean, right now, again, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse right now with this, whatever. But yes, the Wii U does need software right now, and you know, having such a multi-platform title and a popular one, by that matter, of Madden on there, I mean, would certainly help for a certain, you know, that demographic of people who buy basically almost the same title out there, which you know could easily be done, you know, with like updated rosters and such, whatever. But you know, look at EA right now. I mean, they own the NFL property right now. They really have no competition to do it, so they're free to do whatever they want with it. And this is, I mean, yeah, I kind of would be a little bit worried of it as far as, you know, with you know, the relationship with EA, because what was it, like the Need for Speed title, like I can't think of the surname, whatever, that came out in March that was originally released for the 360 and the PlayStation 3 last fall, that sold, I believe, what was it, under 50,000 units in that month of March, which is not that very well for, especially for a third-party title of that size. And I could see, you know, why EA is kind of hesitant right there, whatever. I mean, they feel as if, like, the Wii U doesn't have that market size right now to actually warrant of putting out a port of Madden, like the next iteration of Madden, which I believe would be the 25th version of this, and onto that market, because is it, you know, worth putting that money and time, whatever, to put out a port and, you know, see it possibly be like the third best-selling version out of those home consoles?
Right.
But is it a loss for me? Not really. There's a lot of different sports titles out of EA's, like, you know, catalog that I enjoy more than Madden. I feel I put Madden in the same kind of category as when it comes to Call of Duty. I mean, when you put out these different titles, the same title, and market it out each year, I just kind of lose interest. Plus, I'm not that good at Madden. I'm a big, 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 big American football fan and love the NFL. It just, I'm just not into the strategy of football when it comes to, like, you know, plays. I mean, when I look up and when I try to play, I really don't know how some of these things work, whatever. And I play, most of my good friends were All-State football players, and you know, they always pick me to play, right? Because they know they can kick my butt in the game. But it's no loss for me, but it's definitely a loss for those who, you know, bought the console and are wanting to play that on a Nintendo console in HD.
And you know what? It's almost too bad too, because the Wii U kind of leads itself well to like that Madden experience, the ability to like pick your play on the gamepad without having your opponent know exactly what kind of play you're doing. That's kind of cool. But at the same time, I've never really been a huge fan of the Madden franchise. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of boring to me, honestly. It's just, I don't know. It just never really rung with me. I mean, I don't know
It's a bit monotonous.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I have not played a Madden since Madden 95, so it just doesn't appeal to me anymore.
Yeah.
And it really didn't appeal to me then. I mean, it's something that one of my friends had. We played it, and it was fun, but it didn't appeal at all. I don't know, though. I mean, I think, you know, should we be mad that they're not getting a Madden? Maybe. I mean, one thing about Madden is that it sells. There's a huge fan base for it. Even though that, you know, there's, like the Call of Duties, like Harrison had mentioned, there may be some minor changes from one to the next, but those changes do make a difference in the game. And Eugene put it perfectly also, that using the gamepad would be one of those changes that would just make it just amazing. With being able to do the plays on the gamepad. And I have to think that when the next gen Xbox and the next gen Sony has the game out, they'll probably work something like that in with the PS4 controller, and then the tablet that you're supposed to be able to use with the Xbox if they do in fact release that. But even if it was the third best selling of the top three consoles on the Wii U, as long as those sales are more than it takes to port the game. I think that EA should have done it, because there's going to be a lot of sales for that game with Nintendo that they're not going to have. Madden's not a game that somebody's going to go out and buy a new Xbox 360 or new PS3 for, just so they can play that game. It's something that they'll just go over to a friend's house and play. So if they already have the Wii U, and maybe they don't have a 360 or a PS3, you know, they're not gonna spend the money on the game if it's not for the
right.
Wii U. But yeah, I think that Nintendo should really take this to heart and build that relationship with EA Sports, because again, EA Sports is not really high on my my want list. Any game put out by them, but it is high on a lot of fans' want lists, and so they need to get those games to the console, even if it's, you know, even if it's a little bit later than the other consoles.
Right, and you know, like I don't really particularly play a lot of sports titles aside from maybe like FIFA or like then latest NBA game, but I have to say that having the ability to play the game on the gamepad with is just a godsend. Like I play FIFA a ton on my Wii U just because it's so convenient to just pick up the gamepad and walk into another room, or like use the restroom, or go cook dinner, or like, you know, and just kind of take it wherever you need to go. And it's kind of a shame that it's not coming out to the Wii U, but at the same time, I'm not personally particularly upset about it. I mean, Lewis, does Madden even is that even come out in the UK? I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah, no, it does come out. I've never picked one up though. It's going to be a real shame that it hasn't, all this year, is not coming out for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how many years consecutively Madden has hit Nintendo platforms, but it's more than I can remember, at least.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article that maybe 99, I might be wrong on this one, but it's been a while. So yeah, it is kind of a shame, and hopefully Nintendo can. I think the bigger picture that we have to look at is kind of what Harrison was talking about, is that Nintendo's relationship with EA may not be as great as it has been in the past, and that's definitely something that hopefully with Iwata coming over to Nintendo of America, they can help amend, you know. So we'll see what happens with the Wii version.
As long, you know, if there's another version, well, a substitute for this, whatever, bring over FIFA or NHL. I mean, that could ease. There's a great market for that as well. I mean, they aren't the huge. Well, FIFA's quite a bit huge. Like their second best, I think, selling sports title out there, rather their like catalog. But you know, both FIFA and even NHL, whatever, they get quite even with each version, they get great accolades for like, you know, what they do as far as like, you know, to up the gameplay style. Up not only rosters, but, you know, all the features. I mean, like, you know, there's any type of, like, you know, FIFA or NHL title, at least each one feels a little bit more different.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of something that EA themselves needs to take a look at, because having the games just releasing year over year over year, and then maybe with marginal updates and just a roster update, is kind of getting stale to some people. I know it has to me. I mean, I'll still pick up the latest FIFA title, don't get me wrong, but it at the same time, I kind of wish that it would just be like a $10 download for a new update or something, because the engine doesn't seem to be changing all that much. But I mean, one of the titles that's going to be getting an update with Link to the Past is definitely going to be looking totally different. And I mean, it from what Onuma has been saying to I believe CNN, it's looking like it's going to be a drastic departure from its predecessors, from his words. There's a quote in the CNN article saying that it certainly feels different from our point of view. So do you guys want to see the Zelda formula changing up? I mean, where do you guys stand on this one? Or do you guys kind of want more of the same?
I'm okay with it changing up as long as they stay true to the series. One thing that I think that they need to do, though, in a case like this where there's a direct sequel, is they need to stay true to the original and not stray too far from that. But it's always great to move ahead. I mean, obviously, if we got an exact clone, exact environment clone, and so on of the original Link to the Past, this long since it was originally launched, that might upset a lot of fans, because a lot of people look at that as a step backwards. So I think there needs to be a lot that's new there, but I think there needs to be a happy medium between today's Zelda games and the Link to the Past. So I think that there has to be a happy medium between the two, but I'm all for, you know, switching it up. But it shouldn't be so drastic that it pushes fans away. You know, just as long as they stay pretty true to it, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that, I mean, I know I'm going to be picking this game up day one, but it's looking like a lot of, I don't know if I, how the internet works apparently, because I'm seeing a lot
you don't know how the internet works?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of negativity for this game on the internet. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I can't see anything negative about it so far
what kind of negativity that's been being said about this? The fact that it's just like, oh, they're just kind of rehashing, like, you know, going back and waxing nostalgia, just, oh, it's a Link to the Past sequel, whatever. I mean, only, you know, the fans of that particular game are going to be picking it up. Is that what they're, you know, complaining about? Because I find that kind of asinine a little bit. I mean,
yeah, I do too.
The
one of the negative things that really, like, rings with me is I was listening to a podcast, the Shaq News podcast, Weekend Confirmed, and apparently Andrew Yoon from Shaq News has actually gotten his hands on in the game, and he was saying that the wall mechanics in particular were just not up to snuff, and I mean, I guess that's kind of. Expected, since the game is still quite a few months away, but he just seemed very negative on the title from what I heard, and then it's just been kind of ringing true with what I've seen on Twitter and on other social media sites. So I don't know. I think the game looks fantastic, but I don't know. I think people just like to hate.
It's, well, it's the argument basically of like Nintendo as a whole, you know, they survive based on their like past franchises. But I mean, not to say that this guy was mentioning about that. It just, you know, you're going to, the one thing that has me going for this title is that, you know, we're obviously about 2, probably 3 years max away from a, you know, the next like home console Zelda title. It's, this game in particular, you know, this Link to the Past sequel, it'd be the first one to actually, you know, change up the formula a little bit. You know, one thing that it kind of is a bit of a stepping stone to see where the series can go, because, you know, the Zelda series feels like it's been, you know, still stuck in that formula of what, you know, Ocarina of Time has developed. I mean, there's been changes here and there, but in graphical styles and, you know, and even dungeon layout and as comes to puzzles, but it just, you know, feels a little bit more the same. And in the case of this game right now is that, you know, this could be, you know, the first step in the right direction for the Zelda franchise to actually properly evolve.
Yeah, and you know, from the 3DS for me has been kind of a breath of fresh air, just because the 3D is great, I think. And I mean, when games do it right, it really works. Like with Luigi's Mansion, I think the 3D is probably the best that I've seen on the 3DS so far. And even Mario 3D Land has good use of the 3D visuals, but from what I downloaded from the demo video on the eShop for the game, it just really looks like the graphics are just going to pop. And then I think that Nintendo's really going to utilize like having multi-layered environments or dungeons that are really going to take advantage of like the diorama-esque visuals that the 3DS can provide to the space. So I think that it, if anything else, it's going to be visually very, very pleasing.
What is it? I mean, if there's one factor, like, in the 2D and even 3D Zeldas that you would want to change, I mean, like, there's the one thing I kind of found a very annoying, I mean, and this has kind of been common even in the 3D, like, the DS titles and the console, like, the console titles as well, is that the combat itself hasn't really changed, and, you know, that's one thing. I mean, obviously with Z-targeting, which was established with Ocarina of Time, you know, it's one thing I wanted to see with this is, you know, go in a different direction. I don't want to see it kind of go in the same way that we'd see, like, in God of War, where kind of, you know, a series of games I enjoy, it just, I feel like, you know, a Zelda title would not really fit in that kind of type of, like, you know, gameplay aesthetic, because of, it would just end up being a bit of a button masher, but that'd be one thing I want to see a little bit, you know, introduced into the Zelda universe is just, you know, a new, you know, gameplay mechanic of how to, you know, with action and, you know, how you're fighting enemies. I mean, that's one thing I'd really like to see, you know, thrown in there.
I mean, Skyward Sword for the Wii using the Motion Plus was quite a bit of a shake-up in terms of how the combat was handled. I mean, the actual mechanics were done in a similar way, but because of how you were interfacing or actually controlling Link with the one-to-one motion with the sword controls, it did change up the combat quite a lot of ways and bosses as well. But one thing I thought was very interesting, which came out of this interview with Inuma, was that he confirmed that the Dark World is returning to Link to the Past 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that's going to actually fit into the actual story and the resolution of the original game. But from what we've already seen of the game, and knowing that the kind of the overworld structure is the same, at least to some of the bits we have seen, knowing that we also have that Dark World, I was kind of hoping for something a little bit different. And I'm hoping they still have something hidden up their sleeve they're not going to show until the game's actually announced,
right,
just to surprise us when we do stumble upon it in the game.
Yeah, and you know, I've always kind of liked that dual world mechanic, but Nintendo's kind of played that to death, what with Zelda, and even Metroid has gone in that direction with Echoes, with the Metroid Prime 2.
At least do it different.
Right.
Yeah.
Universe mechanic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, one thing that I noticed, whatever, especially when they're reintroducing the dark, light and dark world mechanic, is that, well, in the previous, you know, in Link to the Past, the Dark World does not exist anymore. It became like the Golden Land. And I'm thinking, like, how are you going to be reintroducing this again right now? I mean, obviously, that's one thing that I'm scratching my head about.
Right. Looks like we'll just have to wait for the next Hyrule Historia to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Just it. I mean, is this going to fit in the world of Hyrule Historia? Is this going to fit consecutively with Link to the Past in the timeline? Or is this going to take us into a completely different direction? Maybe the sequel, it means that, you know, it's another branch. Maybe it takes place at a certain point in Link to the Past, and then it breaks off into this story. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that happens. But the one thing I would like to see change, and I think a lot of people are going to be on the same page with this, is within the new Dark World, whenever that gets, you know, basically sealed or changed or whatever they decide to do with it, I hope Navi gets stuck in it.
Yeah.
No, the way you're explaining whatever, as far as how this fits in the timeline, you're saying like how this branches off. I'm thinking like, is Nintendo trying to actually do, you know, Inception with this right now? Timeline, it's like a timeline within a timeline within a timeline.
Right.
And like, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's probably what it's going to be when this is building up to the next great big Zelda game. What's going to happen is it's going to be split into three different games, and one in each different timeline. And when you finish a certain quest, you're going to kind of flash back to the next timeline. You're going to complete that, and it's going to bring them all three together in the end. That's my prediction.
Right. And, you know, it's great to see that the 3DS is honestly, like, really hitting its stride now, because it's been, 25 months now since the console's been seen its release. And the first, man, almost 12 months were really rocky for Nintendo, and it's kind of the same boat that the Wii U is in. And I mean, if rumors of the new Mario title are true, that might maybe out by October, it's going to be kind of looking like that the Wii U is going to be in the same kind of predicament that the 3DS found itself in. So I mean, recently from computerandvideogames.com, they had of course, anonymous sources saying that they were...
Oh, those anonymous sources just telling us what to do. I mean, one minute I'm hearing about, well, here's Half-Life 3 is going to be announced soon right now. I'm like, oh, wake me when it's in store shelves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that Nintendo has been having discussions with retailers about the future of the Wii U, and that that they've kind of regained their faith in the console because a new Mario title is supposedly slated for an October release. So, honestly, the big thing for 3DS, Mario 3D Land. The big thing for Wii U could be this new Mario title. So, do you guys even think that Nintendo is ready for a new Mario title? I mean, what do you want to see in a new Mario 3D title anyways?
One problem with this. this is the year of Luigi. Do you really think that they're be releasing this to the point where it's like, oh, we're going to, sorry, Luigi, here's a new Mario tire. We're just one up on you or whatever. So, oh, yeah, forgot about you, you know, but I digress. But
if it comes out in October, we'll have a good 10 months.
Yeah. Well, I think what they might end up doing in a case like this is that, you know, actually make Luigi a playable character in the game. Of course, call it, you know, Mario, Mario Wii U or whatever they call it.
Or go, but back make, to Mario, Luigi... or go back to Mario Brothers or something like that. That
exactly,
alone.
Exactly. And just, you know, make Luigi an actual playable character. And I think that what they'll do is use that to hype the game up to all the fans in Nintendo Direct and maybe throw in, oh, yeah, and you can play as Mario, too, and you know, just keep it as that. But I think another thing, something that I've been kind of talking to a lot of people on, and I've heard a lot of people say that the Wii U is dead already, and it's you know, it's never going to make it against the other two consoles.
Wait, are you talking about the Wii U or the 3DS? Because it sounds familiar.
Oh yeah, the Wii U. The Wii U, sorry. but yeah, exactly.
That console.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. I mean, for a long time, the 3DS, to throw it back a little bit, you know, it did struggle, but there was also, you know, talk for a while about this brand new PlayStation handheld game that I don't even remember the name of the thing because, you know, it just sits on my shelf and collects dust. And then there's this non-existent Microsoft handheld system that just never was. So obviously, I think the one thing that the 3DS had coming for is that it had no competition. It, of course, it's going to get you know, become a great thing with all the games that are coming out. The Wii U is doing something similar, I think, and it's building up right now. Right now, there's a lot of talk about the PS4. There's a lot of talk about the Xbox 360, and I think what Nintendo has done is set themselves up to be in a perfect position, especially with titles like a new Mario Brothers for the Wii U. What they've done is they've given us games, and I hear a lot of people say there are no games for the Wii U. They're just not releasing anything. They're not releasing a ton of games, but there are a lot of games out there. I think there's over 30 now.
Yeah.
And they're covering all genres. So you get experience on the console with every genre that's out there right now for the most part. And what they're doing is allowing people to use the system, try it out with some really great games, and get to learn the mechanics of it. Now, when the holiday season starts to hit, I'm guessing the PS4 and the next Xbox is going to be out somewhere around that time frame, you know, the Nintendo's going to come out with their big guns, probably, you know, this Mario, Zeldas, and whatever else might be out there. And people are going to want these games. I mean, these are games that they're must-haves for most video game fans. So a new Mario coming out around that time frame, whether it features Mario or Luigi, I think is the perfect thing to get people to buy the consoles for the holiday season or even just to pick up the game itself. I mean, obviously, but I think that's kind of what Nintendo's going for. So new Mario in October, perfect timing, and I think it's genius.
Yeah, and you know, Nintendo's already said that a new Mario Kart title is going to be playable at E3. Yep. So that's huge. It's going to be so huge for the console. And if they can do what they did with 3DS and release a Mario Kart and then a new Mario title all in the same calendar year, I mean, that's just going to be huge for the console because, yeah, Xbox whatever, 720 and PS4 are going to be coming out this year, but they're going to be hindered by the same type of game droughts that the Wii U has. I mean, that's just what happens when a new console launches. It's just inevitable. So I think Nintendo's kind of in a great spot right now. Yes, the Wii U is going to be underpowered compared to the PS4 and Xbox whatever, but that didn't seem to really hinder the sales of the Wii when that came out. So I don't know. A lot of people forget that, like Pikmin 3 and Wonderful 101 and We Fit You are all in the pipeline for this year as well. So those ones are going to be, at least We Fit You and Pikmin 3 are going to be huge sellers for the console when they release. So
yeah. And I always have to laugh about the power. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. If all these games come to fruition, that Nintendo's kind of letting out that might do, we're going to have a very busy holiday season from Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
There's also been a bit of speculation that the certain titles which have meant to have launch in the launch window as such or just afterwards have been deliberately pushed back so they can build up momentum coming up to the holiday system, so the holiday season as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see Pikmin 3, Wonderful 101, then Mario Kart, Mario 3D, Zelda Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
these
actually,
are a lot of games.
I forgot about Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Yeah, though, I mean,
yeah, so did I.
I don't know how many, I mean, how many games can we consume in a calendar year? I mean, I out of all those 5, 6, 7 games, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to pick up all of those ones because of funding or whatever, you know? So I think Nintendo, a lot of people like to hate on them, but they're in a all right spot right now with the Wii U. They games just need to come, and they will. So
it's, well, the one thing that's keeping them alive, I mean, I feel like that's alive for the last even 10, 15 years, has been their handheld division. I mean, I feel like I'm a firm believer that to say that, you know, I believe their handheld division is what's been getting the majority of their profit out there. I mean, you have, I mean, once they had cut that 3DS, like, gave the price cut, you know, I remember even analysts saying, like, you know, they're going to be losing so much money off each one. How are they going to recover from this? And, you know, here we are now, almost 2 years removed from, 2 years removed from that price drop, and yeah, it's been doing. 3DS has been doing so well, especially with the, even its dearth of games, but also the fact that, you know, I think, yeah, they are back in the game as far as, like, you know, not losing a profit on each handheld being sold. And in the case of the Wii U right now, I mean, yeah, the common, like, you know, conventional wisdom out there is like, oh, I mean, look at the 3DS. I mean, maybe the Wii U can turn around. I mean, but I'm one to believe, you know, it's different for that. I mean, you're dealing with a handheld which does not only has, you know, its other competition is another, you know, high-powered handheld, which, you know, I respect. I mean, a nice little piece of machinery in the PS Vita, but one thing I found in it, whatever, is that it just doesn't really kind of, you know, appeal to me in the sense that, like, when I buy a handheld console, I want it to be very different as far as my, you know, my console experience. I mean, I don't want to be playing the exact same console experience on my handheld as opposed to on my handheld. And I get it differently, especially with the 3DS right now, with its, you know, its features and what its games, you know, entail for what the system has, be it, you know, 3D or its accelerometer or even its touchscreen.
Oh, and the, you know, the biggest feature for me on the 3DS is honestly the Street Pass, because that's cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I wish I lived in a bigger area so I can actually, you know, go through, like, Spot Pass and, you know, get all these different Miis. I mean, I feel like I'd be able to do this a lot more if I was going to, you know, conventions or so, whatever, and get all these. But Swap Note, for instance, is a great little feature there too. I mean, it's definitely a step above when you first had the first DS, where it was just, oh, you'd be sending little drawings over just a Wi-Fi network, whatever, or just if one or two systems are close by, and they took this and evolved it, whatever, to more of a, like, you know, good messaging system.
Right, and you know, I don't understand how a lot of gamers are getting so aggravated with Nintendo. I mean, they, or, you know, just like the video game industry in general, but I don't know. To me, I think Nintendo is doing okay, and I've enjoyed my Wii U completely. I mean, go ahead.
It's stubbornness. That's one thing I really wanted to be. It's not just fans, but they feel as if Nintendo is just stubborn with themselves. I mean, a couple of years back, Nintendo, like, really had, like, a long piece article, whatever, after the reveal of Wii U, and forgot the guy's name, how it was...
It was Jack Loftus.
Yes, it was the title of the article was called Death of a Fan Man, and one thing I picked up in the article is how he had mentioned how, you know, Nintendo no longer makes, you know, games just for, you know, for people. They make games just for themselves. And in this case right now, they're not really doing as well just to... They're focusing on themselves and not their consumers.
Yeah, and it just makes me so angry that's the case, because I play my Wii U more than any other console right now, be it for, even if it's just for Netflix or even if it's just to, like, browse the internet. But I mean, I turn that thing on over my Xbox 360 and my PS3 any day of the week, just because it's just so convenient to have the gamepad and just the ability to pick to either play the game on my TV or put on the basketball game and play a game of Mario while I'm watching the game as well. It just works for me. So, and you know, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating to me the way that the internet works and how the anonymity makes fans so adamant about their anger about this. But you know, there are good angry video game nerds, such as the
good segue.
Yeah. such as the angry video game nerd himself. And apparently he's got a new game coming out, and it looks awesome. Angry Video Game Nerd Adventures. And actually, I think Scott had this article on Invendo, so why don't you kind of talk about this one for us?
Well, you know, I just happened to come upon it one day, just kind of browsing some of his videos, and then I saw that it actually came to fruition, and it looks like it's going to be coming out on a 3DS or a Wii U, is the speculation. It looks like he's got a little bit of backing from Nintendo on this one, so it looks a little violent. I mean, there's actually one clip in a video, if anybody has seen it on the site, where he's actually sliding down the hill on the back of a bloodied Santa Claus's back. So it's a little bit more graphic than what you would think for a Nintendo cartridge that is just a simple platformer like this. But what it looks like, it takes a lot of the games that he hates the most within his web series and puts himself in the games. I mean, you actually play as him. He's got the little old orange and gray Nintendo Zapper. Right. And that's what he fights with, and it's got a lot of great tributes to other Nintendo games out there. And I guess there's some tributes to other games that aren't just Nintendo. But for example, you see the moon in the background from Majora's Mask, and you see a lot of really cool things. And there's one, it's kind of like, I believe it's a Mega Man type world where you have kind of floating heads with the spikes
like
on the
stuff.
Like, yeah. So I mean. Overall, this is a game I'm actually pretty excited about. It looks like it's just a retro side-scroller, 10 levels, and it has the classic 8-bit soundtrack, which really lends to it and keeps to the way he originally did these videos as the angry Nintendo nerd.
Right.
So I'm actually pretty excited about it. So this is definitely something that's going to be on my list when it actually comes out.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about the title until you posted it on Nintendo, and then I watched the video, and immediately I was just encapsulated by it, by just the soundtrack alone. The soundtrack sounds like it's going to be great. I don't know who's behind it, but it really sounds like classic video games, like modern, like a chiptunes, you know?
Yeah, there actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, sure. The game's being developed by Freak Zone.
Mm-hmm.
They're currently a kind of an iPhone and Android type developer. They've made some kind of Nintendo influence games. One is called Awesome Land. It's kind of obviously based off a bit of Mario Bros. And they've also made this game based off this public domain film you might have heard or might not have, called Manos: The Hands of Fate. I've actually played both on an iPad, and they're they both feel very good. They actually feel quite similar to, that's not good. What is that game? Mutant Muds.
There it is.
Yeah. Those titles feel a bit like Mutant Muds to me, which is a very good thing. And also, interestingly, the developer, whose goes by the alias of Distant J, is using the newly announced Nintendo Web Framework. So he's using the HTML5 part of this web framework. And he's actually creating the program, or the game itself, in a visual creation tool which you can download on your PC called Multimedia Fusion. And so I'm very impressed that he's managed to become a Nintendo-approved developer, which he has. How he's managed to get the he's got the rights here from the Angry Video Game Nerd, and the actual project looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and this is the people that are going to be behind this aside Freak Zone, but it's being published by Screw Attack Games, which is where the Angry Video Game Nerd videos are kind of based through, and also through James Rolfe, the guy who plays as the Angry Video Game Nerd through SimAsker.com. This is actually not Screw Attack Games' first, foray into, in developing video games. The first one was an iOS and Android-only game called Texting of the Bread. It came out around 2 years ago, and that was actually the first iPhone game I had bought when I got my iPhone a couple years back. And, a quick little distraction. I mean, most of it is just, simple game, whatever. You're just typing and you're defeating, gingerbread-esque zombies on there. And it's a nice little distraction. Also, a great tool for beginners to want to learn how to type on the iPhone, especially on a touchscreen. And with this, I'm excited about this because of, I really like seeing this, you know, internet celebrity get a little bit more, you know, like views on, like, well, more attention out there. I mean, he's already in post-production right now of making, you know, the official Angry Video Game Nerd movie, which should be coming out by the end of this year. I mean, trailer's online for it at the moment. And this one, it's definitely kind of including more of everything. Like, you know, if you're a fan of the show, lots of different references to different episodes or even games he's reviewed and even, you know, catchphrases, which we know this game is going to be, you know, filled with quite a bit of expletives. And
yeah,
I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to earn its M rating, you know, very swiftly and, you know, quickly.
Yeah, but the gameplay for the title looks really, really, really good. I mean, at first glance, when I first watched the video, it looked a lot very Mega Man-esque. But there's a lot of different classic video game influences in this game. So I imagine if pulled off correctly, it's going to be a pretty fantastic title. It's just going to be interesting to see whether it lands on Wii U or the 3DS or both.
Yeah,
I'm kind of hoping for a 3DS, version of it. But you know, I'd be just happy either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I was to guess, I would. I would say it would be the 3DS, just because it would be a lot easier to make the port onto the 3DS as opposed to in HD.
Right. Having to port it to an HD console, yeah. I don't know exactly how the game development works in that aspect, but I would like to see it land on both virtual or both eShops, just so then consumers can have a choice in the matter.
Oh yeah, and you know it'd be a good stop for the developer. I mean, it'd be a great eShop title too. I mean, I'm sure they could probably figure ways out to, you know, incorporate, you know, well, even though there's some majority tiles out there that use touchscreen or even the accelerometer, but I'm sure they could probably find ways to actually, you know, incorporate that.
Right. So I think general consensus on this podcast is that everybody's pretty excited about the title.
Yes, at a reasonable price.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
From his past track record, I've enjoyed his games before.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Nintendo has... hopefully Nintendo's really going to help promote this title, because I think that not only is it going to be kind of a big boon to their downloadable eShop format, but in a sense, it's going to kind of pander to the like internet generation that we live in. I mean, the Angry Video Game Nerd is pretty huge in the internet community. So, I mean, maybe we'll be seeing it at this year's E3, but apparently Nintendo's not going to be holding an E3 press conference this year. So that's going to be interesting. Although, I mean, they say they're not going to be holding an E3 press conference, but they're renting out the entire Nokia Theater. So that's kind of funny to me that they're saying that they're not holding a press conference. But what do you guys think about the about Nintendo not holding a traditional E3 press conference this year? Oh, yeah, I just got that. Yeah, I think the quality is dropping quite a bit. Hey, let's take a little break from the podcast here. I'm going to try and send the call through again. Hopefully we'll get a better quality on the second run through.
Sega properties. I think, you know, Nintendo, you know, if they did do that, you know, they would probably go that route. But, you know, in Sega's problem, whatever, all these business decisions really kind of still are so present right now how they do it. I mean, they're kind of a shell of their former self.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm not. Oh, go ahead.
I'm not too sure. Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead. That's fine.
Well, I was just going to say that, I, like Harrison pointed out, the difference between Nintendo and Sega is that Nintendo has a huge, like, just like war chest of funds that they have yet to tap into. So I think for Nintendo to really go belly up would take a lot. Even if the Wii U and the 3DS failed, they would still be able to surface as with another console in 3, 4, 5 years, just because they have that much money in the bank, you know?
Absolutely. I think, and that's something that's huge that Nintendo has, that you know, maybe the other two companies do have, but it's not necessarily money meant for that reason. I mean, you've got Microsoft that just has tons and tons of money. So, I mean, they can survive on their console alone. They don't need a handheld. They don't need really all these huge successful games. I mean, they could sit back and just release a couple duds for a year straight and be able to have Microsoft in general fund them. You know, Sony could probably do the same thing, but Nintendo to be able to do it on their own, being basically a video game company, and not have all these other electronics and software that can help fund them in the background. I think that's something that Nintendo, you know, just can use. And you know, going back to, you know, Nintendo, if something catastrophic happened and Nintendo went, you know, third party, maybe they just decided that they just don't want to do it anymore. Let's just leaving it at that. I don't think that some of the big Nintendo titles would ever be well received on any of the other consoles. I mean, could you even imagine Mario being on an Xbox or a PlayStation? I think that the hardcore PlayStation or Xbox gamers would laugh it off at a Nintendo failure and not even buy it. Sure, Nintendo fans would, but I don't know if that would be enough on another console. But going back to it, I don't think it's anything we even have to really worry about, because Nintendo's in a pretty good spot.
Right, yeah, especially with the success of 3DS. I mean, Harrison was talking about this earlier. Their handheld market has really carried them into their next generations. I mean, without the Game Boy Advance, I think that if Nintendo only had GameCube, then even though they were making a profit off of each console sold, I think they would have been in a really rough spot. But the success of the GBA was just humongous for the company. So I it's looking like the 3DS is going to do the same thing for the company. I don't see Nintendo going anywhere, and quite frankly, I'm not sure that I would want to see a Mario or a Zelda title on other consoles. So,
not at all.
Yeah, it's definitely a world. It's basically a world that you kind of, in a sense, it's probable, but you just really don't want to see. Or I mean, you know, we hear whatever, you know, at Nintendo. We love the company, but also we have to make sure we want to watch out for, like, you know, make sure we want them to do well as, mm-hmm. you know, but, I mean, they have their own problems out there, like, but in this case, whatever, I do kind of get tired of that argument saying they should just go third party, whatever, but I just feel like it's going to take a lot if that's going to happen.
Right, yeah, and I honestly, this isn't going to happen in the next year, even 2 years. Nintendo's not going to go third party. There's just no way. They have too much money in the bank. They just have too much success going on with the 3DS. I can see in the future a lot of success with the Wii U. Maybe not quite as much as with what's happened with the Wii, but a different kind of success. So I don't think we have to worry about that anytime soon. So don't fret. Nintendo, you're not gonna see Zelda on Xbox 720. I don't think so. We're gonna continue to see
CDI that was bad enough.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, Scott, why don't you read our next question for us?
Yeah, absolutely. This is from Chris. I've just got back into Nintendo recently, and I'm loving it. Got a Wii U, and the system has loads of potential. I'm guessing that the new Mario 3D game will be called Mario Universe, and will showcase a lot of features of the system. Does very nicely and sell a lot of Wii U's. What are your thoughts? P.S. My last Nintendo system was the Super NES, and A Link to the Past blew my mind when I first seen the rain and the lighting effects. You know, I'm not sure what the next Mario will be called. Mario Universe would actually be a pretty cool, you know, good title, especially with, you know, having the letter U in there. And if it's going to be a big Mario 3D game, I think that would be a good name. You know, with the game itself and maybe new features, I would just like to see an openness, and so on with the game. Maybe something that's a pretty massive world that, maybe you can travel through, maybe have to, you know, kind of RPG-ish, where you have to get certain items to go further into the game and pass obstacles and so on.
Yeah, what I want to see with the newest Mario title is kind of what you hit on there with somewhat of RPG type elements where you collect new items, almost Zelda-esque, and like kind of move on into the new environments because of like the new abilities that you learn. I've always thought that the my favorite Mario title is actually the Mario RPG title that was on the SNES. It was developed by Square, but it just was so cool to see like Mario title have an actual story, something that I cared about. So I'm hoping that Nintendo kind of goes in that direction.
One thing I could like to see is, I kind of feel like we talked about this earlier about, you know, the possibility and, well, the speculation of a new, you know, 3D Mario title coming out this fall, but I'll just say one thing I would like to change. Does it really have to be collecting stars to get to the end of the level? I mean, can we, like, expand it? I mean, like Yahtzee Croshaw said, like, when he reviews, like, his stuff on Zero Punctuation, like, different Mario titles, he's like, well, it is always stars, so... but that's my little bit. But, I mean, in the case of this, I'm sure whatever... I mean, each iteration of a different, like, 3D-based, like, you know, or a 3D, like, Mario home console title, there's always going to be a bit of a huge jump when something comes into it, so... And I honestly, if they could try something a little bit weird but differently, I mean, go something like what they did with Mario Sunshine. I mean, obviously that title itself had its own problems with its problems, being that it wasn't really a true successor to Mario 64. But if they can actually, you know, well, you know, mix in a few things that, you know, make this series a little bit more fresh. I mean, it's the same thing we're trying to find out with like the Zelda franchise.
Well, I think what's quite good about the 3D Mario games is they all have been very creative. Although we've kind of got this stigma now of from the new Super Mario games that Mario is a very samey series, but it's really not when you're looking at the 3D side of things. Obviously, you had Mario 64 as the first 3D Mario, and it was kind of explorative focused. And then obviously then we had Sunshine on the GameCube, where you had Flood and you had these kind of hovering and mechanics, and you had all these. The features of spraying graffiti off the walls, and then jumping into the galaxy, it was all kind of based around these 3D spherical kind of micro planets and playing with gravity and jumping between the two. So I hope they kind of keep up the tradition of re-looking at Mario and putting a brand new twist on it. The other thing I'm looking forward to see is what style they come up with. I hope it's not just a slightly, you know, slightly shinier version of a Mario Galaxy Mario. I hope they put maybe a cel-shaded approach to this HD Mario, and it would be really nice to see what sort of scenarios or places they actually put Mario in. It would be quite fascinating to see like a more traditional looking Mario, but in possibly a more realistic looking scenery. Not photorealistic, but somewhere between Pikmin and the sort of modernization of Sunshine, where you got the buildings.
Right.
But yeah, it'd be great just to see it move away from this the new Super Mario style that we've got stuck to for the past 5 or so years, and really be creative with Mario again, and just really surprise us. And we've got this awesome horsepower of the Wii U now. And so they can really show off what they can do with their graphic capabilities.
Right.
And I think I quite like the name Mario Universe, really. And I really want Nintendo to surprise us and just, you know, to drop our jaws when we see this brand new Mario game like we did when we saw Mario 64 for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to what Chris said about not owning a Nintendo console since the SNES. I mean, really? You haven't played the Nintendo 64, you haven't played Nintendo DS, you haven't played the Wii. This kills me a little bit, actually. I mean, that hurts my feelings. Well, at least he's listening to a Nintendo podcast, but my goodness.
It's like, I mean, not to sound cliche, but I mean, like, what rock have you been living under?
Yeah. I mean,
no offense to you on here, Chris, but yeah.
I mean, at least you ended off with one of the better Nintendo consoles of all time with the SNES, but there's so many good games that are out. You go on eBay, go to GameStop and pick up some retro consoles, for God's sake.
I don't know what's more shocking, that they wouldn't have experienced either Ocarina of Time or Wii Sports.
Right, yeah. No kidding. No kidding. I mean, everybody's played Wii Sports at this point. It's kind of ubiquitous to video games. But yeah, well, in any case, I think that the new Mario title, I can't imagine what Nintendo's going to do different. I'm sure that they're gonna shock us in a sense with what they want to do with the title. So I'm just all on board. I'm on the Mario bandwagon. I hope that it does actually release this October.
So let's get with our last question, I think, right here. And he's actually, you know, a frequent contributor here, and it's from Mike is a Poet. He asks, not a question, but you should talk about printing Miiverse. I didn't get a chance to watch this video, but our summary right now is printing Miiverse is an art show of 172 Miiverse artists presenting incredible 13,255 drawings. Everybody could join until like the 1st of April. Opening is like the 4th of May. This show is being in Kunstbunker in Nuremberg. I think you guys have probably watched this video and seen a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, what is a little bit add to it?
Okay, I watched it. It's actually pretty amazing. It's basically just a gallery of Miiverse printouts of things people have drawn within the Miiverse. And, you know, from what I've seen on various websites and even on the Miiverse personally, there's some really, really great art on there with the few tools that you're given. And, you know, just to see them all in one place like this, you know, it's you know, a tribute to Nintendo. It's a tribute to the artists themselves. I mean, these people that have created these little pieces of artwork obviously didn't just doodle it and, you know, hit the enter button. I mean, they took some time to really make something that stood out. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, and I don't think we've actually posted the link on there, so we'll try to get that up here.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes when the podcast posts. So I'll put that in the show notes.
Perfect. Absolutely. But yeah, definitely take a look at it because it's a great presentation.
Yeah, for sure. I think. Sorry, I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool post. I hadn't heard anything about this in the past, but it really looks really cool.
Yeah, I saw the video, and it's really quite strange to see all these Miiverse pictures printed and hanged up on the wall. But I'd love to go around and see them all. But what it made me kind of think of also, this video came up a similar time, if I remember correctly, to the being able to see the Miiverse on a browser.
Mm-hmm.
And what's quite a good little secret feature of that is because you can see all these pictures now on your smartphone or your PC, you can directly save them for the first time. So instead of having to get a camera and take a picture of your gamepad or your TV, we do have this kind of feed, or this we have this portal to save all these Miiverse pictures, which is great.
Yeah, and it's really cool because there are a lot of surprisingly fantastic artists on the Miiverse. It's just great to see the community like come out and just like doodle. I mean, you know, you can just doodle for days on there. I found myself on the Miiverse for hours at a time just looking at people's pictures, people's posts.
Yeah, some people have absolutely fantastic talent, especially with the limited tool set. All you have is, do you even have different sized brushes on here?
Oof, I don't think so, actually. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in mine.
And yeah, with the latest software update, Nintendo was very gracious and gave us the undo ability.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool.
Which means all these pictures which have been made in this gallery are all created without the undo function.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty amazing in my book. I am the worst artist ever. That's why I post hardly nothing on the Miiverse, and it's just great to see that really artistic pictures on there. They're works of art. They really are.
Yeah, and it's quite cool. It's quite fun also to go onto some of the character or series themed communities like the Zelda community, sort the post by most popular, and you'll just be greeted with these absolutely stunning pieces, and you'll be amazed that they managed to create these with the same tools that you have, yet all I seem to be able to do is make these very basic Stickman anime-esque characters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's about how mine come out. That's why I hardly ever post anything. Well, yeah, it's really cool. I Mike is a Poet has actually really turned me on to that. I'm kind of interested in looking at the, like you said, Lewis, is looking at the Miiverse from my smartphone or my browser and just like saving these photos and like actually using them, like just like saving the pictures and just like printing them out. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Also, actually, while we're on the topic of the Miiverse, I think it would be very cool if Nintendo evolves this to a more a swap note or a letterbox, as it's called over here, type system. So you can have additional colours and you can have different sizes of your brush, but basically a lot more complexity. And the big thing would be the colours. And if they could take it even a step further than swap note and do like how Colors 3D works on the 3DS and give you a whole different palette, it would just be amazing just to see what else could be created. Just the fact they're creating all these drawings with these just a single black paint tool, if you let them choose their own colors and have some extra functionality to their drawings, even if they're just static pictures, they don't have to be animations. I reckon we could see some absolutely immense fan art on the Miiverse.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure that's coming in some kind of future update. You would think that Nintendo would want to add colors and brush sizes and whatnot to the Miiverse. I mean, that just seems like the next logical step to the process.
What I'm saying, it does kind of have its nice charm in its simplicity.
Right, that's right. Well, before we close the podcast, I'd like to hear what y'all are playing recently. I think we've heard a little bit throughout the podcast, but I mean, why don't we start with you, Scott? What have you been playing recently?
I've not had a lot of time to really play anything, over the last week or so. I did finally finish the Final Fantasy V on my iOS. I'm just finishing up some of the last quests that you gain after beating the game, but other than that, really haven't played a whole lot. Used the gamepad, the Wii U gamepad, to watch Netflix this weekend. But between work and writing and yard work and honey-do list this weekend, I've been pretty busy.
Right. The only thing that I've been playing lately, well, not necessarily. I mean, I've been playing here and there, but the biggest title that I've been playing lately is actually a downloadable title on the Wii U. I'm so addicted to Bit Trip Runner 2. That game is it's just so simple, but yet it's just fantastic. Have you guys had a chance to play that one at all?
Oh, yes,
I have not. I've seen it on sale quite a few times, and I've just been regretting not picking up at the time of the sale, whatever. I mean, same thing with well, I know Tank is now being available for free, right. But most what I've heard is that there's a reason why it's free. It's not necessarily that good of a title, so, I mean, if you want to, go ahead and try it.
Actually, the free version of Tank has been available in Europe for, I think, a couple months already.
Oh, wow.
Which I picked up when it was available, just because obviously it's free, and I did a few of the little paid downloadable things that are only a couple of pounds each, in equivalent a couple of dollars, and it's actually not a bad game if you can get a couple of friends around. It's kind of two-form kind of 3D arcade game, so you don't need to know much before jumping in. There's like, you use your D-pad or your analog stick to move around, and you've got a button to fire, and then that's all the game really tells you. And what's quite fun is before each turn, you get to take a picture of yourself, and then you put like a little cartoon type frame around it. And even that simple thing is quite fun, just to pass the gamepad around people and create these crazy little avatars, which will then float above your tanks while you're fighting each other.
Yeah, I was downloading Monster Hunter, I saw that Tank was free, so I put that in my Quay. So hopefully that's downloading right now as well.
Yeah. But yeah, I've also been playing Monster Hunter, which, if you haven't heard, it's quite a big game.
Oh, yeah. Go figure,
quite
right?
Big.
and you hear there's this, there is this a drought as such, at least for the Wii U. There's not so much for the 3DS. We've got a load of games coming through on the 3DS currently. So if you don't have many games for your 3DS and you can only pick a couple or just one, if the idea of Monster Hunter doesn't completely turn you away, then I would heavily recommend it, because you can sink a serious amount of time into this game. And it works really well on the Wii U, especially since the update which lets you play the entire game on the gamepad as well. Because mm-hmm. That is the perfect game to switch between the TV and the gamepads. So I could be playing in HD with the loud sounds and enjoying these fights against these gigantic creatures. But you can't really take over the TV over the whole evening on that sort of experience. It's kind of... it's not so fair, because it's kind of a very single player game. Although it's quite immersive, I can't imagine it's the most fun game to watch as a spectator.
Right. Well, that's why you have to buy both versions and give your significant whoever a 3DS, so then they can play along with you.
But yeah, if they're not so keen on the Monster Hunter option, you can do the friendly gesture of letting them watch their favorite show on TV while you continue.
Oh, you Brits are so much nicer than we are.
I don't know, because before it would simply be an option of, okay, we'll turn the game off for now, I'll return to this later on, but no. It's a nice gesture. They can go watch what they want on the TV, and I can continue playing on the gamepad.
Right, no problem. I'll just push this little button right here, and then I'm still playing, and you're doing whatever you want to do.
And what game I hope that also has this functionality is Monolith's upcoming
X, Project
RPG.
X, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Based off of Xenoblade. If I can also jump that from spectacular sights on the TV to just do more mundane grinding things on the gamepads, that's a very flexible way to play a very long game.
And also a very dangerous way to play a game, because I can see myself taking that to bed and not going to sleep a long time.
I did have this very similar game on the Wii, but I never actually managed to actually sink in enough time to really for it to get its grips on me. But having this flexible functionality of swapping between the TV and the gamepad when the TV's not available. It's a really nice way to play the game, and it kind of shows you that the Wii U is genuinely onto something quite cool. And yeah, I do hope a lot more, and a lot more of these kind of JRPG type games do take advantage of this functionality. And I could see this would be almost the premium platform for these types of experiences going forwards, even with the newer consoles coming out.
Right. Well, yeah, I definitely think that once my Monster Hunter downloads, then I am going to be in the same boat that you are, although maybe a little less cordial, because I may just have to give somebody my 3DS and make them play with me. So
the more Monster Hunters, the merrier.
You're right. Well, what have you been playing recently, Harrison?
I did really, obviously at the beginning of the podcast, I mentioned how I finally got a 3DS XL, and I talked a little extensively about, you know, how much I'm enjoying Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Just a little touch base on it. One thing that is really kind of getting to it is, it really does bring out a bit of a visual style on there about how much it's powerful, like, you know, how powerful the 3DS can be on there when you're getting, you know, GameCube-esque visuals on there. And I really, really liked how they definitely like split up the mission, all this into missions, and based on different mansions. Since there's like five in total. I mean, I'm already on the second mansion at the moment right now, and I've been going through trying to, because each level or whatever, aside from completing the mission, there's a Boo mission where you have to find a certain Boo, whatever, like a Boo in there to catch, and of course, you know, to get 100% of the game. Yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten this far right now, but I have better 3DS tiles to be on there, and I can't wait to start buying more and more. And, you know, talking about this right now makes me want to just, like, jump off here and start playing it right now.
Let me make a suggestion for you, and download Pushmore or Crashmore, or both, because those ones will keep you occupied for hours and hours and hours on end.
I say, I know one of them's on sale right now till like, the middle of May, so yeah, that'll definitely be on my agenda.
Well, good. Well, before we close off the show, I suppose we should give out all of our Twitter handles, and you can plug whatever you'd like to plug. I know Scott's doing a lot of writing projects at the time. So why don't we start off with you, Scott? Give us your Twitter and what you're working on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The Twitter is at EsselPratt or facebook.com/EsselPrattWriting. Either one of those will find me. Really, just been doing a lot of short stories for some anthologies, submitting them. Hopefully something will pop up and get accepted. I actually had one publisher move one of my short stories off to a second round. There's three rounds in the decision. Third is usually acceptance or rejection. So if accepted in that one, that'll be the fifth book I'm publishing. The same publisher for another anthology sent a story back to me with suggested some edits. I sent those edits back in, and hopefully that will make it to the second round also. The guy really liked the story, the editor, and just a few things he'd like to see changed, so I obliged him on that one. And that same story, I'm actually working on turning into a full novel. I've got the outline completed, so it's kind of a fantasy-esque type story. So usually I kind of write more of the horror side of things. But this one is more of a fantasy type dystopian world, post-apocalypse kind of magic and stuff included in it. So I don't know, a little bit different than what I normally do, but I really like the short story, so I'm going to expand on it from there and see what happens. Other than that, I mean, I think I just have a few other stories out there I'm waiting to hear back on and see what happens from there.
Great, great. Well, Harrison, give us your plugs, give us your Twitters, give us your Facebooks, all that fun stuff.
Well, my Twitter handle is H. Milfeld, and as far as, like, plugs right now, I mean, if you really want to, like, you know, look more into the journalism industry, whatever, I'm usually just tweeting more and more often about that, and usually that against what's happening at my favorite sports teams in the state of Missouri. But, yeah, that's mostly what I'm doing. I mean, but I can get a little bit crazy with, sports commentating on, like, play-by-play. I try to do a little bit best on it, but that's what I'm doing. But you should I make sure to actually chat a little bit more on, like, the industry. I mean, and if you want questions about Infinite Radio, don't hesitate to, you know, message me for questions for the next show.
Yeah, hey, go Blues. We're up 2-1 right now, right?
Yes, we are right now, but this team going into LA is just kind of a death trap at the moment, and, you know, we've historically not been well, you know, away in Los Angeles, but yeah, Stanley Cup playoffs are in full effect right now, and they really do show. I mean, it just, you know, reaffirms, you know, how it's one of the bigger, like, the tougher, like, you know, postseason competitions in, you know, the world of sports. I mean, up there at the World Cup or the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's one thing I look forward to every year.
Right. Well, Lewis, have you learned to love football yet in the week that we've had off?
in the past week and a half? Not quite yet. We'll see how that goes.
Well, give us your Twitters and your plugs. I know you've got a lot going on game development-wise, so...
Yeah, my Twitter name is Lusion, which is spelled Leubsion. And you can also use that same name in either the Apple App Store or the Windows Phone Marketplace. Unfortunately, no Android support just yet, but wait a week or two time and I should be able to give you a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
At which place you can find my mobile games, which do have their Nintendo influences. So if you fancy checking out some mobile games made by a Nintendo fan, do check those out. My latest games are Super Smoothie 2 and Super Corobolt 2. So all you need to do is type in Luvsion, Leuvsion, into either of those, and they'll pop up.
Great, great. Well, I don't have anything going on other than my soccer coaching and trying to finish up everything school-wise in grad school and everything, trying to find classes for that, but you can still follow me on Infendo_Eugene on Twitter and maybe get a glimpse into what my life is like. So other than that, I think that's going to do it for the show. I mean, do you guys have anything to add before we close off?
This was a long podcast.
Yeah. I feel bad for Lewis more than anything, because it's looking like it's, 2:30 in the morning down in the UK?
That's exactly the time here. however, we did have an earlier start this time, so it's not too bad. We were starting this sort of time last time, so
yeah.
I think I've got off quite easily tonight.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for listening, and please join our forums and ask questions at tips@infinito.com. You can hit us up on Twitter for questions. We'd love to have your questions for the next podcast. So with that, this has been Infinito Radio, and we'll see y'all next week.
See you later.
See ya.
Catch you next time.